In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.
I would like to talk today about Holy Communion, about the Holy Eucharist, the sacred body and blood of Jesus Christ. And there are countless ways in which we both can and should practice and nurture our faith as church, in the services, at home, and in the world. But the greatest, the most vital and central is partaking of the life-giving body and blood of Christ in communion. When we gather in the divine liturgy, the bread that is on the plate and the wine that is in that cup, they're brought at the great entrance from the preparation table and in solemn procession are placed on the holy altar. Eucharistic prayers are offered. Remembrance of the Lord's command, of the Lord's words at the Last Supper are pronounced. And then at the most solemn moment, the Holy Spirit is invoked to change the bread and the wine from mere earthly substances into the true body and blood of Christ. Now, as Orthodox Christians, we cannot stress enough, this is not just some reenactment of the Last Supper. It's not just an outward symbol to raise our devotion or as an illustration of our faith. We believe, and we would say we know, that this bread and wine, while retaining earthly forms of bread and wine, truly become the very body and blood of Christ. It's one of the deep mysteries of the church and one that we hold most dear. And it's a mystery that can't be explained up here in our heads, but is instead received here in our hearts. The mystery that has brought healing and life to countless people throughout the ages. The evidence of this mystery covers centuries. The number of signs, the number of miracles, the countless amount of grace surrounding our human touch with the body of Christ, it's uncountable. It's beyond numbers. I myself have been a witness to this grace on more than one occasion. I've seen a physical healing from communion happen before my very eyes in a hospital room. I've seen a spiritual grace with someone who received communion on their deathbed in a nursing home. Here's a true story. I was a teenager in Los Angeles, California. I was an altar server in the local Orthodox church there, and it was communion time. It was my turn to be pouring the wine at one of the tables that day. Now, it just so happened as people were approaching the chalice, alternating, one from each side, just like we do here, two women happened to end up at the front at the same time, one on each side. Now, these two women had been at odds with each other for quite some time. But in the grace of coming face to face while communing, well, there's suddenly right in the middle of the aisle, as soon as they were finished, there was this big, teary, huggy kind of wall came down right in front of me, right in front of this teenage boy, right in front of everybody. Everybody knew what was going on. We knew what was going on. The body of Christ accomplished a reconciliation that their families had been unable to achieve for years, for years. Now, these types of stories can be multiplied geometrically throughout the ages. Contact with, communing with, reception of the body of Christ is the healing and life of your soul and body. And you cannot afford to let the grace of the body of Christ pass you by. Now, unfortunately, in our human condition, that can indeed happen, that the grace of the body of Christ doesn't reach us. In his first letter to the Corinthians, the Apostle Paul speaks quite directly about Holy Communion, reminding us that the Lord's Supper is the very participation in the body of Christ. But Paul, in that same letter, he also gives us a warning. He also says, be careful. He says, to eat and drink of the body of Christ in an unworthy or in a careless manner brings judgment on a person. Brings judgment on a person. And then he says, this is why many are weak and sick, and some have even died because of partaking in a careless manner. Many are weak and sick, and some have died. Now, this verse has been misinterpreted many, many times. Some have suggested that the body of Christ is somehow dangerous in itself. They say if you partake unworthily, the communion is harming you. Now, the Holy Fathers would likely find that troublesome at the least, and blasphemous at the most. The sickness and death we suffer from partaking carelessly is not caused by the body of Christ. Partaking carelessly is certainly a sin in itself for which we must repent, but Christ came into the world to save people's lives, not to destroy them, in his own words. Partaking carelessly, while a sin, can't cause the body of Christ to harm us, because the body of Christ is life-giving. It's always life-giving. But what St. Paul means is that if we partake carelessly, the medicine of the body of Christ has no effect. St. John Chrysostom says of this very verse, commenting on this very verse, he says, "The careless die in their own sins, the sins they have already committed." St. John Cassian says, "We die in the sleep of our sinfulness, having no benefit to raise us." See, what they're saying is that the medicine isn't working. Our sins that we're already engulfed in are just having their way with us because we're not taking the medicine properly. St. Simeon the New Theologian goes so far as to say, if you partake carelessly, you're just getting plain bread and wine. St. Simeon says that Christ withdraws his divinity from the Holy Eucharist and from your life in that moment. Now, it's like if you have, suppose you have a horrible infection, and the doctor gives you a medicine, and she says, you have to take this medicine with, I don't know, say you have to take it with grapefruit juice. Let's just say that's what she says. And later you say, I don't care about the instructions. I'm just going to take it any way I want. Well, if you do that, the medicine's not going to work. But the medicine didn't kill you. The infection kills you. The medicine didn't work because you didn't follow the instructions, because of your carelessness. And to touch and partake of the body of Christ carelessly means that a person receives no grace from it and that the person remains infected with their own sin. Today's gospel story is a perfect example of this. Jesus is traveling and a great crowd is pushing around him. And a woman with a flow of blood for 12 years makes her way through the crowd and touches Christ. Right? She reaches out and touches the hem of his garment, and immediately she's healed. She's healed. Jesus stops and asks, who touched me? Right? Who touched me? Peter's a bit befuddled by the question. Dozens, if not hundreds of people have been touching Christ on this journey. But Jesus means it differently. Of all those hundreds of people who touched and jostled him, only one person touched him with enough faith to be healed. Only one touched the body of Christ in faith, and she's the one that received healing. The rest remained in their illness. The rest remained in their sin, because to them, Jesus was just a man. Interesting, curious, trendy perhaps, but to the crowds, Jesus was just a mere man, and their touches did nothing. To touch the body of Christ carelessly is to remain in the infection of one's own sin, whereas to touch in faith, to touch with love and to touch with hope is to bring light and healing and life into the core of one's very being. And finally, I think this woman's encounter with Jesus should inform how we approach the body of Christ, how we take communion. Communion is a most solemn time of reverence, of reflection, of focus, and most of all, of faith. We know that the bread and the wine of the Holy Eucharist, while retaining their earthly forms, truly become the life-giving body and blood of Christ shed for the life of the world. Reception of the body of Christ is the healing and the life of your soul and body. Therefore, let us not let the grace of the body of Christ pass us by. Amen.